come before you this day in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for a blessed and prosperous day. We thank you for a day of peace, a day filled with joy, because we have put our trust in you, we rely on you, and we depend on you. Now, Father, we are here today because we're thirsty and we're hungry, and we thank you, Father, that we are being filled and we are overflowing, hallelujah, with your word as it goes forth today. We just thank you, Father, that today we are fanning the flame. It is spreading on the inside of us, and we are stirred up, fired up to fulfill what you have purposed and called for us to fulfill. We just thank you once again that we have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, and we thank you, Father, that because your word is full of life, because your word is full of health, as we receive your word today, it is active and it is alive and it is working in our physical bodies. It is renewing our minds, changing the way we think, the way we believe, and the way we speak. But we thank you, Father, that healing power of God that flows in your word is flowing through our bodies as we receive it today from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. Now, Father, thank you for everyone that is watching and listening online or the radio. They will be edified just as we are. They will be strengthened, encouraged just as we are. And they will learn how to take your word and apply it just as we do. We thank you for it, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, hold up your Bibles. Say it like you mean it. Say, today, I hold up the living word of God. God's word is truth, and the truth has made me free. Today, I have great expectation that the truth of God's word is causing me to become freer and freer and freer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I was reading something the other day, and Smith Wigglesworth said that a book contains words of the story in it. But he said the Bible is not a book. He said this does not contain the Word of God. He said it is the Word of God. And if you think about that, man, this is not a book. They say that the Bible is like the number one bestseller or whatever. Well, that's fine in natural thinking, but this is not a book. This is the Word of God. That's it. This is the Word of God. And so that's something for us to meditate and think about. Because what we've done is we've been conditioned by this world to think and live a certain way. And those thoughts have affected our belief system, they've affected our speech, and they have put limits on our life. Now, I'm sure every one of you have heard the story about the elephants in the story of the elephants in the circus, but the person that trains those or works with those elephants, he's called like a mahout. And so from the time those elephants are little, they strap them up tightly with a rope. And those elephants, they try to break away and they can't because they're not big enough and strong enough yet. And so over the years, these elephants just grow and they become huge and they're very strong. I mean, they can just pull several logs at one time. They're just very strong. But they have been conditioned by their environment from the time they were small that they could not break free from that rope. And so now when they are humongous and strong, all they do is loosely wrap the rope around their leg and they don't even try to escape. And people have wondered, well, why don't they try to escape? Because they don't think they can. They don't think they can. And our Bible clearly says that if we can believe, all things are possible. That with God, all things are possible. Now, why was Jesus, and we mentioned this last week, why was Jesus able to do the things that he did? I mean, Jesus walked on the water out in the sea to the disciples in the boat. They thought it was a ghost. Why did they think it was a ghost? Because a man can't walk on the water. But Jesus didn't think like a man. Was he a man? The answer is yes. But he didn't think like a man. He thought like heaven. He thought like God. We know that Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. So here's an example of another man walking on the water. But at the moment that he did that, faith was in operation and he wasn't thinking like a man. He didn't begin to think like a man until he looked at the circumstances around him. And when he began to think like a man, he sunk. So here's something else for you to think about. If I write you a letter, if I have a pencil and I use that pencil and I write you a letter, did I write the letter or did the pencil write the letter? Now, you know, we can overthink that. The reality is, I wrote the letter and the pencil was the tool. Is that right? Okay. So we go to the Word of God and we know that Jesus said, the Father in me, he doeth the works. Jesus was going about and healing people all over. Was Jesus healing the people, or was God healing the people and Jesus was the instrument that God was flowing through? Because Jesus said, the Father in me, he doeth the works. Remember, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power. So he was the instrument. Well, if we will start seeing ourselves as the instrument, that God is still the same God. Amen? He hasn't changed. His will hasn't changed. His word has not changed. If we will realize that God wants us to be the instrument that he flows through and allows his power to go through. You know, I was listening to Brother Hagin again the other night, and I'm just listening, and I'm hearing things, and then I start thinking, okay, if I need healing, how is God going to heal me? Because, you know, we think that God's out there. God's out there. God's, you know, and God's going to do this. And, you know, and we're thinking, but the reality is this. God's in here. His power is in here. He wants that power that lives on the inside of me and you to begin to activate and produce that healing. So that healing is going to come from the power that is already on the inside of me and you. See, our whole thinking has to be changed. It has to be changed. We have to realize that this world has tried to condition us and limit us. And that's why all these people say, well, if it's God's will, I'll be healed, and if it's not God's will, I won't be healed. Whichever it is, I'm fine with that, because I know that God knows what's best. What scripture did you even get that stuff from? Well, that's just what we believe over at my church. And, you know, our pastor said that sometimes it's not God's will to heal some people. He's got a greater purpose, and we just don't understand how God operates and how God moves. That's why people think the way that they think. Do you hear what I'm saying? And we've got to do what we've been talking about. Act like God's word is true, in spite of what it looks like, in spite of what it feels like. So Jesus didn't think like a man. Jesus thought like God. Jesus thought like the Word. He humbled himself and he came to the earth and he was a man, but he didn't think like a man. So why are we limited today? Because we are a man and we think like a man. Now I know in all reality, now that we've been born again, we are a spirit. But most people, most Christians don't think that way. They see themselves outwardly and they think this is them. All right, but we still are operating in this earth in a physical body, and we tend to think like a person operating in a physical body instead of thinking like a spirit who has now been connected to God. So now, as we think about this, think about it. Jesus was basically the first man, definitely since the fall of Adam, but he was the first man that God lived in. All right? Because in the Old Testament, God did not live in them. God came upon them by his Spirit, but he didn't live in them. Jesus was the first man that God lived in. Now, thank God for being born again. Thank God for going to heaven and not having to go to hell. But let's just really think about this. What was the real purpose of Jesus coming into the earth? Because Adam died spiritually, right? And he was separated from God. His spirit was now dead and no longer alive. So everyone that was born separated from God. Everyone's spirit was now dead and not alive. So think about it. Did Jesus come so that I could go to heaven? Or did Jesus come so that I could now be one with the Father and I could now be connected to God spiritually? And the byproduct of me now being one with God and being connected to God is the fact that I will go to heaven. Why? Because I'm now one with God. All right? So, think about it. The light switch won't turn on. So you call an electrician. And the wire came loose. All right? What did he come for? Did he come to fix your light? Or did he come to see what the problem was, and then he saw that it was no longer connected? And so he came to connect what was disconnected, and now your light works. Jesus came to connect us back to God the Father by making us alive spiritually. Now listen to this. So that we could now live different in the earth. Not so that you could go to heaven. Going to heaven is a byproduct of that. But you still got all these years to live on the earth. He came to connect you to God so that you could now be connected to a source that would cause you to live differently in the earth. But in order for that to happen, our mind has to be renewed. Amen? Because now that we've been connected to God, we got to start thinking like God. And God wants us to be His tool or His avenue that He uses to minister to people all around us, and not only that, minister to ourselves. All right? Today I just kind of got some stories. So there was a group of frogs. Say, words are powerful. So our Bible tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. All right? Now, the most powerful words that can ever be spoken to you are the ones that come out of your mouth. Those are the most powerful words. Because you don't have to base your life on the opinions of other people. People try to label you. They try to label you. Society, the world tries to label you. But you are not who the world says you are. You are who God says you are. So these frogs, they go on a journey, and they're hopping around to go find a pond. And as they are in search of this pond, two of those frogs fall in this deep pit. And the other frogs freak out. And they all circle around the pit, and they're going like this, flapping their frog legs and stuff, and going, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? They fell in that pit. They'll never get out of that pit. They'll never get out of that pit. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? It's impossible. They can jump and jump and jump, and they'll never be able to jump out of this pit. Now, that is not the kind of people I want to surround my life with. But they were speaking all this doubt, this negativity, and this unbelief. Now, before I finish the story, we've asked this question in here before. When you hear the word cancer, what is one of the first thoughts that come to your mind? Death. Death. Why do we think like that? Why can't we think, woo, I'm glad God's on my side. Woo, I'm glad God's on my side. Because that's what's been programmed. That's what's been said. That's what's been told. And man, these commercials, Cindy's just muting that channel. Just muting it till them commercials are over. Because, I mean, they're getting more negative and more negative and more negative and more negative. And words are powerful. All right? So here are these frogs standing around there, and these two frogs in the pit, they ignore those words at first. And they don't listen to them, and they say, we're going to get out of here, and they do everything they can. They jump and jump and jump to no avail. They still don't come out of the pit. So now the frogs are around there and going, man, see, we told you. It's too hard. You're in too far. You'll never get out. You'll never get out. You just give up. Quit. And see, that's the easiest thing in life to do, is to give up and quit. And why do people give up and quit? Because they lose hope. They lose hope. And the Word of God is all about hope, giving you and I a confident expectation of something good. And so the one frog finally listens to what they're saying, and it quits jumping, and it just loses hope, and it gives up, and it goes over in the corner, and it dies. But the other frog keeps jumping and jumping and jumping. And all of a sudden, it somehow jumps out of the pit. And the other frogs run up to it with excitement and go, man, How did you do that? That was amazing. We were telling you to just quit and give up, and we said it was impossible and there's no way you can get out. And you still got out. How did you do it? And the frog said, well, I'm hard of hearing, and I could not hear what you were saying. And I just assumed you all were cheering me on. And so when you all were going, you'll never get out, it's impossible. When I saw you all flapping and moving, I thought you were cheering me on, telling me not to quit and to keep on going. And you know, those are really the kind of words we want to hear. And those are the words that God is always speaking to us. But religion has come into Christianity and made us think that we can't do what God says we can do, that we can't have what God says we can have. Amen? And we can. All we have to do is begin to act like God's word is true, no matter what it looks like and no matter what it feels like. Because in this world, there will be tribulation and there will be difficult times and there will be struggles. And you know what? We might get a diagnosis from the doctor, and those diagnoses, they are real. They're not fake. They're just not a product of your imagination. No, they do. They eat up people's bodies and they devour them. But you know what? God heals people's bodies and he restores them. But faith still has to be in the equation. It has to be in the equation. So, we're at church a couple Sundays ago, and I just felt led by the Spirit, and I just heard some things. And one of the things I called out is I said, right now God is healing somebody's left eye. And I said specifically, left eye. So 3 days later, I get a call from a gentleman that is 76 years old. And what I did is after that part of the service was over, I explained to him. And I said, just because something is spoke, and it may pertain to you or a condition you have, does not mean that it will just automatically happen. And I said, that's the biggest problem in the body of Christ right now. They're waiting for a word from God, or they're waiting for a prophecy, and then they just expect it to happen. You are still in the equation, and you still have to exercise your faith, even when it's spoken. And so this person said, and Pastor, I claim that, and I receive that as mine. So then I get a call from a young lady that's been in the church for 20 years. And she says, Pastor, I just got to share this with you. When you spoke the other day and you said, God is healing your left eye, she said, I had this sty on my eye for about 8 months. And I claim that and I receive that as mine. And 6 days later, I was at home. And it began to hurt. And I started to get kind of concerned, and I was going to look on the internet. And I said, nope, I'm not going to look on the internet. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm going to act like God's word is true. And I received my healing last Sunday. And she woke up a day and a half later, and that sty that has been on her eye for almost 8 months is completely gone, and there's no sign of it. And then when this lady gave her testimony at prayer Tuesday night, another lady said, well, I had some problems with my left eye also, and when I woke up this morning, a week and a half later, all those problems I had were completely gone. But the thing I have to get you to understand is faith is what activates that power. And what did they do? They took hold of it and they said, it's mine. Does the Bible say that you are a child of God? Yes. Does the Bible say you are an heir of God? Yes. Does the Bible say you are a joint heir with Jesus? Yes. So then just begin to act like it's true. And listen, you've been given all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And spiritual blessings are where your manifestations come from. They come from the Spirit. And so we've got to change the way we think. Well, Jesus, once again, did not think like a man. He didn't think like a man. He just acted like his Father's words were true. All right? So, when we go to Matthew 12 and start there in verse 46, his mother and his family, his sisters, they come and they're asking for Jesus. It says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered, and he said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? Man. If you and I said that, they would think that we lost our mind. He must have Alzheimer's. He doesn't even know who his mom and his brothers are. His sisters. No. Because Jesus did not think on a natural level. When he was tuned into the Spirit, he thought on a spiritual level. Oh, he wasn't dishonoring his mother. He wasn't dishonoring his family. He was trying to get the people to understand that there is a world's way of thinking, and then there is a spiritual way of thinking. Amen? And his number one purpose was to be about doing his Father's business. Amen? And we've got to learn to develop that same type of attitude. So right there, Jesus wasn't thinking like a natural man. Because if he'd have been thinking like a natural man, oh yeah, yeah, hey, y'all wait a minute. Let me go see what my mom needs and I'll be right back. Isn't that what we would do? It's exactly what we'd do. You know? And so in the boat, we see the disciples once again. We know how a man acts when a storm comes. I mean, you watch Tornado Payne on Channel 9. He'll probably be on tonight because there's supposed to be some stormy weather. And he's on there. Oh, oh, yeah, yeah, look at this. Do you see that tail right there? Yeah, there is a tornado, and it looks like it's getting ready to touch down. Look at that. Oh, listen, you all better run for shelter. Get in the middle of the house. Is that not what they're doing? And I'm not saying that you shouldn't take safety precautions. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm saying the natural man thinks differently. Can you see Jesus? Jesus is the weatherman. Oh, man, there's a bad storm coming. It's down there by Wichita Falls, and it's heading towards Lawton. All you people in Lawton, find shelter. That is not what Jesus would be doing. Is that right? And remember, when he comes back, will the Son of Man find faith in the earth? And so if we just make it simple, when he comes back, will he find people that are acting like God's word is true? Now, don't you misunderstand me. If there's a tornado coming straight for my house, I will speak to it. But if my level of faith is not there, I'm going to get in my cellar too. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I want to get to a place. And I can. And the world thinks I'm crazy when I say I can, but I want to get to a place where I can speak to that thing and it has to obey me and it has to go up. I want to get to that place. Why? Because it's not me doing it anyway. The problem is I've been thinking it was me. And that's why I limit myself. But it's the Father in me that wants to perform that work. Amen? Listen, I could say, oh yeah, I spoke to that tornado and it didn't knock my house down. It just went up in the air, went over, but then it destroyed everybody else's house. Well, that ain't a good thing. The good thing is I spoke to it and it dissipated and it was gone, and it not only saved my house, but it saved everybody's house that was around me. That's the place I want to get. Can I get there? I can. Smith Wigglesworth, how did he do all those things that he did? Because he wasn't thinking like a man. And he'd punch people in the stomach. He'd throw a dead person against the wall. He didn't think like a natural man. And so all I'm saying is, we've got to continue to hear, and I'm thinking, Lord, how long do I stay on this and teach on this? And I just keep hearing, till we all get it. Till we all get it. To where we don't just see ourselves as a natural person with all these natural limitations, but a person that can access the power of God because of the connection that we now have to God to change things around us. And I think about it and I go, man, I got so far to go. But God is a redeemer of the time. And I need to act like the Word of God is true. So we see how those disciples acted. They saw the storm. And they did what most people do. They got scared. Started panicking. Started crying. Jesus, don't you care about us anymore? You're here sleeping and man, we're about to die. Don't you care? And that's how people talk. You know, you see that movie sometimes and the person's over there going, oh, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're going to die. And they just have to go slap their face and knock them back into their senses. And says, get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. You know, we're going to make it out of here. And, oh man, I can't remember what movie this was, but, man, it's a good movie, but it was Alec Baldwin and Anthony Hopkins, and their plane had crashed, and they were surviving in the forest. I think the movie's called The Edge. And Anthony Hopkins was an older gentleman, but man, he was tough. And this bear was after them to devour them and to eat them. And Alec Baldwin's over there crying like a baby, you know, and just all scared and whining and everything. And Alec Baldwin has this image because of this picture on this book of this warrior killing this bear. And he had that sword. And I mean, he had to knock some sense into Alec Baldwin because he's just panicking and words are powerful and he's crying and speaking all this. And I can't remember exactly what he said to him, but it was powerful about words. But Anthony Hopkins ended up killing that bear. And why? Because you can have what you say. And he believed it. And he had an image down on the inside of him. So Jesus, he believed it. And he spoke to that storm. And you all know the account of what the disciples said. They said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. Because they said, we've never seen a man like this. It was a man that didn't think like a man. It was a man that thought like God. Say, I am not a man that thinks like a man. I am a man that thinks like God. You know, and so, once again, don't forget the fact. Reality is you are a spirit and you live in a body, but you still have a human form as you exist and you live in this earth. So, here's what I want to leave you with today. The Bible says in James 5:16 that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. It goes on down into 17 and it talks about Elijah, and it talks about how Elijah had prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again and the heavens loosed the rain. And what it's giving us an example of is this. Elijah was righteous because of faith. But he wasn't like us, and here's how. In the Old Testament, through their faith, righteousness was imputed unto them. They were accounted as being righteous because of their faith, because of their belief. In the New Testament, you are made righteous. It has nothing to do with your faith per se, except for the fact that by faith you receive Jesus and you believe that he made you righteous. But you've been made righteous. You're already righteous. Whether you believe it or not, you're righteous. Whether you believe it or not, you're healed. Whether you believe it or not, you're delivered. Jesus did all of that on the cross. Amen? So you and I have been made righteous. And so he's trying to tell us that the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man, which is us, availeth much. So you know what we need to do with that verse? Act like it's true. Act like it's true. When you pray, see yourself as a righteous man of God, and your prayers are effectual, they are fervent, they are dynamic in their working, and they are availing much. Yeah, but it's been a week and it doesn't look like anything's changing. Shut up and act like it's true. So then, we're still on prayer. So we go to 1 John 5:14-15. This is the assurance or the confidence that we have when approaching God. Oh man, how awesome. Because we've been made righteous, we can now approach God with boldness and confidence. So this is the confidence that we have when approaching God, that whatever we ask, according to his will, and his will is his word, he hears us. He hears us. And then if we know that he has heard us, then we know that we have what we have desired. We know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him is what it says. We know that we have the petitions that we have desired of him. And that takes me right back to Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Now what are you supposed to do with Mark 11:24? Act like it's true. Whatsoever things you desire. Well, listen, that right there tells me that you're supposed to be praying for what you desire. You're not supposed to be praying the problem and telling God about the problem. All right, so you have a need, then pray what you desire. Don't say, oh God, it's just been so rough this week and so tough and I don't know what I'm going to do and let me just tell you what's been going on. No. The thing is this. What do you desire? Like somebody comes up to you and they do this and they say, hey man, today has just been a rough day. Well, then your response to them should be, is that the way you want it to be? Well, hopefully they're smart enough to say, no, that's not how I want it to be. Okay, then start speaking what you desire. Amen. So whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. What are we supposed to do with that verse? Act like it's true. So, he says, if you know that God has heard you, well, how do I know that God has heard me? Because I prayed according to his word. I didn't pray the problem. I didn't beg. I didn't cry. I didn't say, oh God, it looks like it's getting worse. Help me. Nope. I prayed according to the word, and he said he heard me. And he says, if he heard me, Michelle, then I have what I prayed. So what should I be doing? I should be acting like it's true. But yeah, it's been a month. Act like it's true. Oh, it's been 2 months. Act like it's true. Well, how do I act like it's true? I do Psalm 34:1. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Thank you, Father, for being faithful. Thank you for watching over your word and performing it. Thank you for hearing me when I pray. And thank you for answering my prayer. And I thank you that I already have it. Even though I can't see it, even though I can't feel it, I have it. That's acting like God's word is true. Hallelujah. And everybody around thinks you're crazy. That's fine, because your life isn't based on their opinion. You're starting to base your life on what God's word says, because you're beginning to act like it's true. So Jesus is there with Mary and Martha. Lazarus is in the tomb. John 8:41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father. Jesus did not think like a man. He thought like God. And he said, Father, I thank you that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. Jesus was a man that didn't think like a man. You and I can be that same kind of a man operating in the earth today. And we can have that same confidence that Jesus had. And we can begin to act like that's true. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I thank you that you always hear me. And I thank you. You can say kind of basically what Jesus said. Jesus said, you know, I've done this so that those here can see that you are with me, basically. Well, we can have that same deal. Father, I thank you. And that people, it's being revealed to people that you are with me. You're working in me. You're working through me. All right? So then we go to John. And we go to John 17. And once again, when we pray, it's important that we pray and act like God's word is true. God said he heard me. God can't lie. So God heard me. That settles it. Bottom line, John 17 and verse 23. Jesus praying, and he says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So you know what Jesus prayed right there? Reveal to my disciples. But then he goes on, he says, and for everyone that believes on me after them. So he's praying for everyone that would become born again to get a revelation that God loves you and I as much is he loves Jesus. You cannot think like a natural man and believe that. Because you'll talk yourself out of it, because you'll limit yourself and you'll say, well, you know, I haven't done this. No. I've been made perfect in Christ. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. So you know what I need to do with that verse? I need to act like it's true. I need to walk around and act like it's true. And if God loves me as much as he loves Jesus, and if God is not a respecter of persons, and I act like that's true, then I should be expecting great and mighty things to manifest and flow through me. There's people out there in this world, people, they need us. And man, they need Jesus more than ever. Amen? And they need the power of God to show up in their life. And we can be the ones to, you know, release that power by just acting like God's word is true. Amen? I have prayed for people, and I know you've prayed for people that were Christians, but they were denominational type Christians. And I've actually had them say to me afterwards, man, I've never felt like that before when somebody prayed for me. Because you know how a lot of their prayers go? Hey, listen, my family's sick. Would you remember us in your prayers? They don't even hear the prayers. They say, oh, yeah. We'll pray for you. And then 2 weeks later, you see them again, and you go, oh, man, I forgot to pray for you. We don't do that around here. We say, yeah, we'll pray. Come on, right now. And we come into agreement with them right then. And they go, man, I've never heard anybody pray like that. Why? Because we pray with authority. But you know what? Let's take it to another level. And as we begin to act like God's word is true, let's just allow that power to just build up and build up and build up and flow in a mighty way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I'm not going to apologize. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to come back next Thursday and we're going to teach on the same thing. Okay. We're going to teach on the same thing. We're going to get it. Amen. We're going to get it. And I need to get it. We're all going to get it. Amen? Amen? Father, thank you once again for what we're hearing. And Father, thank you that as we renew our minds with your word and we take hold of your word and we begin to act like your word, we will no longer think like a natural man, but we will think like heaven. We will think like God. We will think like the word. And so we thank you for it, Father. We're just, your word is producing a hope and an expectation of us experiencing and seeing your perfect will not only manifest in our lives, but through our lives and minister to people around us. We thank you for it, Father. We give you all the glory. We are becoming heavenly minded and we are becoming earthly good because we're manifesting heaven here in the earth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. All right. I love y'all, and I will see you all next Thursday. Glory to God.